Hi, but we're back, and we have Dr. Rob Garcia with us. He's the warrior strategist, and also he just dropped out, so he's coming back. The wonders of technology. While we wait for him to come, I'm gonna tell you a little bit about him. And he's back. He's a veteran entrepreneur. He also a consultant and the owner and founder of Chief Magazine. You know, he just help people how to become visible. So that's what he's gonna be talking about. Like, you have art, you have an idea. You want to make people aware of that and become visible. That's one of the biggest obstacles that we face sometimes as either creatives or business owners. So he's gonna tell you all about. So welcome, you take this thing.
All right, thank you so much, Anirika. That was a great intro. So for those of you who are watching, I am Dr. Rob Garcia out of San Diego, California, and I am a business visibility strategist, which means that I teach people how to get tremendous amounts of visibility. And so this is kind of an interesting training for me because it's in my wheelhouse, but art is not in my wheelhouse. But why not take the visibility strategies I use for clients and teach artists how to make their works more perceptive to their audience. So what I'm going to talk about today is a couple of ways that you can take your art pieces, regardless of what they are, and make them so visible that people will be lined up to buy them. Sounds good, right? Traditionally, artists and craftspeople are very good at their craft, but they're not always good at getting the word out or doing anything outside of like a Facebook post or, you know, sending out an email blast or something saying, hey, I've got something for sale. So we need to tap into the creativity of it. We need to tap into increasing the perceived value of your work. And so understand that the advertising and marketing is just as important as the beauty and value of the piece itself. And this, when I say artwork or piece, this can be sculptures, this can be paintings, this can be watercolor, it can be whatever your chosen art is. So the first thing you'll want to do is learn to write a description of the piece. And remember that you have to write descriptions and terms that are in line with your audience. So a $100 piece of art is going to be written a lot different from a $25,000 enormous wall piece, okay? In the sense that the people that are buying the more sophisticated and larger and pricier pieces are going to want very strongly written descriptors. They're going to want very good photography. They're going to want an amazing presentation, okay? So you have to step it up a little bit. So what I did is I went to artistsnetwork.com and I started looking up art terms. And so I'm going to read a few of these just as a sample so that you can understand like what's out there. And so, like I said, you want to make sure that you're writing at a level that your potential buyer understands, but you don't want to go over their head, if that makes sense. Art terms was fascinating for artistsnetwork.com because there were about 25 terms in there and they were some of them I'd never heard before in my life. So you want to write at a level that is understandable, but that also shows knowledge and passion for what you've created. So the first thing I'm going to talk about, and I'm just going to go over some basic art terms you can use for your descriptors. All these are listed at artistsnetwork.com. So when we're describing our artwork, okay, you can use a word like narrative. What is a narrative? A narrative tells a story. So if you're talking about the narrative of the photo or a narrative of the painting, what are the events happening in it? Okay. Another one I saw was figurative. So if something is a figurative piece, it means it represents something. Avant-garde means experimental or unusual. if you have a piece that's outside of the ordinary or sculpted differently or using very creative materials, that would be avant-garde. Allegory is related to moral or political meaning. So if it's got a deeper meaning that is judgment or morality based, that'd be an allegory. So it's kind of symbolic. And then texture. For example, for a paint piece, does the paint seep into the surface or does it build on it, or are there unusual materials required? So all of these specified terms are going to increase the power of the description. And it's going to make the art stand out because it's captured very, very well versus something that's very simplistic. You don't want something that just says, oh, I used a lot of blue and reds and I painted this on 18 by 11 canvas. You know, that's not very inspiring. That's not very, it's not creating value for the potential buyer. Okay. So that's the first thing I'm going to tell you, is to learn to write a description using these terms, using specialized terms. You're going to want to talk about the themes that are captured by the piece, whether it's sculpture or painting. You're going to want to talk about the creation process, materials and accessories that went into it. So you can break down the materials used, the type of paints or the type of clay, if it's a sculpture, the type of canvas, is it a specific kind of wood? Is it an outwardly framed piece? Like, what kind of wood went into the outward frame? Is the frame carved? Does it have ornate etchings? All of these things are part of the description for the actual physicality of the piece. And then you can also say, oh, there are similarities in this to Escher or to Thomas Kincaid or any famous artist that, you know, this painting is inspired by or has many similarities seen in the works of, you know, whoever, Rembrandt or any of the classical painters. Similarities are very good for written descriptions. Okay, the next thing to do to increase the value and the potential for your sale is the actual physical presentation of the piece. Now, understand the use of light, shadow, the background, and color. Very important for presentation. And so when you're taking photographs of your piece that you're going to list, if you're going to list it online, start looking at ways, and you can go on Pinterest for this or do a Google search, but start looking at interesting, creative ways to make a presentation for your feature that emphasizes the use of light, the use of color, the use of strategic shadow. All these things are important for a visually stunning display. With that, photographs. So when you're documenting your art piece for sale, you're going to want to make sure that you have high resolution photos. So make sure you have a good camera and the settings are optimized for the light. And you have multiple angles for the piece. You're going to want some overhead. You're going to want some diagonal. You're going to want some straight on side with the wall in the back or whatever's in the background. Photographs, very important, because the higher resolution of your photographs, the more perceived value it's going to have. You show me anything that's photographed poorly and it's going to look bad in the eyes of the buyer. Always. Photography is everything. So now we have our presentation. We've written the description of the art piece, right? We've taken all these photographs and it looks amazing. What do we do with it? How do we find a buyer? So in order to get this thing visible, and this is where we step into my wheelhouse, we can list it on several sites. And once a piece, you can actually do a buildup to the release of a piece. And to get people on board following its journey, right? So let's say 7 days before you're going to have the actual sale. And you also have to decide, is it going to be just a straight up first person that buys it, or are you going to have an auction? Auctions are a great way to get people competing for something they really, really love. So that's something to think about as well. But I would actually do preview photos, and about 7 days before, start creating a buzz, start collecting names, start dropping a photo or two and saying, hey guys, this is going on sale in 7 days. Who would like to be tagged or when it goes live for a listing? And then write down those names and then tag those people when you start putting this thing out there. Okay. So the four places that I would put an art piece for sale would be artsy.com because they have an auction option, but they also have access to thousands of people globally. And they've got a lot of tutorials for selling art. It's a great site. Amazon, Facebook, Sell Anything groups, and then your Facebook stories, believe it or not. Why? Because they're very visually oriented and you'll get a lot of eyes on whatever it is that you're selling. Facebook stories get a lot of engagement, particularly if you're using bright colors, strong fonts, and just a dramatic message. Hey, my latest art piece for sale, sales start, you know, message me for details. Boom. And then the last thing you can do once you've done these four, I would actually start doing a series of Facebook Lives showing the art piece or holding it if you can. And that way, writing down more names as people are getting involved in it. And that way, when the actual sale opens up, you can invite those people. Is a press release. And a press release, believe it or not, because it's NYIRCA, I'm gonna give away something very, very valuable to anyone watching this. Here is how you get a free press release for your art piece. You go to a website called prlog.org. That is prlog.org. You can write a free press release using the site about your art piece, about your release. And all I would do for a sample headline is your name releases new piece of art, and then the name of it or the description of it. Keep it nice and short. You get one photo in a press release, so have a piece of the artwork. And then in the press release itself, remember, you're not writing an article, you're writing an announcement. And so you're just going to want to talk about the history of the piece, the materials, you know, go back to your description and just kind of do that. A press release typically has a certain order. So it's going to be headline. It's going to be announcement in the first paragraph. It's going to be a little bit of supplemental information in the second paragraph, some art or industry statistics for the third, a quote, and then contact information for the final thing, kind of a call to action with your website, your phone number, your name, all this different stuff, you know, for contact info, blah, blah, blah. That's how you write a very good press release. And then pop it on the prlog.org. And then once it's live and your page is live, you can actually put that on your social media. You're like, hey, guys, here's the press release for my new art piece, blah, blah, blah. And that'll capture some attention as well. You can pop that on social media, your Facebook stories, a LinkedIn article, all this different stuff. So you're actually using one medium, right, a press release, and now creating 4 to 5 pieces of content about your art piece. And then also the Facebook Sell Anything groups are amazing. You can list out your art piece on the online Craigslist or Sell Anything and whatever your hometown is. All this different stuff. It's free and it gets in front of a lot of eyes. So anyway, that wraps up my presentation. Thank you so much, NYIRCA. And hopefully the viewers got some really good tips for visibility. And you can always reach out to me and we'll have a live Q&A and you can ask me questions for any of the stuff that you need to. So that's all I got. Thanks, NYIRCA. You're muted.
I wanted to say thank you so much. That was amazing. We have some comments. Thomas and Lydon say hello. And Arten, the quality of expression of what is beautiful and of significance.
Love it.
And we have somebody else saying amazing value. Shared today by you. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that resource. Can you tell it again what it was? Would I miss it?
Okay. Yeah, I'll go over the links that I listed. So if you want to find terms that you can use for your descriptions, artistsnetwork.com. Okay, that's where I found some of the ones that I shared. If you want to write a press release for free, you go to prlog.org, prlog.org. And then if you want to sell your art, artsy.com, artsy.com. And they have a lot of different options for artists to sell.
Okay. And then I have another question. So when you want to reach the local news in your town, what is the best way to approach that?
Great question. I literally got a client on Fox News San Diego last night. So this is perfect timing for this question. So here's what you do. No matter where you live in America, there's the big four. Okay. There's Fox, there's ABC, there's CBS, and there's NBC. All you have to do is Google news stations and the name of your town. They're all going to pop up. You go to their website and you're going to look for either contact us or submit a news tip. And usually contact us is found at the very bottom of the webpage. And then you'll be able to just write out your little pitch and just kind of make it like the press release. Just make the announcement, you know, local artist is auctioning off art piece that represents blah, blah, blah. And you can, you know, do your description. So that's the first way to do it. The second way to do it is to look up the stations, find a reporter or a producer, and then just directly pitch them on Twitter. Say, hey, I've got a story idea. Would you be interested in covering it? You know, I want to talk about my work as an artist. And I'll tell you this, the pitch that would be more likely to get picked up is the background of why you do art or your own personal story and what art means to you versus trying to pitch an individual piece for sale. And this is why. The news wants things that are very friendly to the audience. They don't want to be sold to. Okay. And so that's the way the producer is going to look at it, think about it. So if you can make a very personalized story about what your art means to you, they'll highlight your art pieces and then people will reach out to buy from you. So remember to make it about you and the value to the audience versus trying to make it about an individual piece.
Oh, that's awesome. And I have another comment. Queen Kimmy, she's turning in and she say, great info and would love for you to go over the list of what makes a great press release again.
Sure. So it has to do with formatting. And remember, rule number one for a press release is you are not writing an article. A press release is an announcement, and there are a couple different types you can do. You can announce the creation of something. You can announce a promotion within your company. You can announce a major event or a book release, something like that, an event. All these things are good press release material. You can make industry level predictions. You can make announcements about your company or what you're working on. So anyway, those are the types of press releases. As far as formatting goes, it's almost always the same. And I've read 7 books on this now, and they all agree. Headline, initial news announcement in the first paragraph, a sub news announcement, which kind of gives some supplementary details, a industry statistic, about 3 of them. So just statistics about whatever it is your announcement's about. In this case, it would be art or artists in America or art sales. You know, you just find 3 statistics and quote them. An actual quote from you, and then contact information. And then a photo if it allows it. So those are all the components of a good press release.
That's awesome. And I have another question. We have a minute. What is your experience with selling your art one-on-one, whether retail or not?
What is my experience? Or
yeah, we're selling your art one-on-one. Like what you do by selling.
Just to be really clear, I don't have experience selling art. I have experience being very, very visible, like teaching people how to be visible or make things famous. But as far as selling art one-on-one, I would imagine you just set up a Zoom call and then talk about the person's interest in the piece. And then just like selling anything else, gauge the interest, talk about price points, and then negotiate terms. It's just like selling anything else.
And I disagree. I think you have a magazine. That's a piece of art.
Very true. I never thought about it that way. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And they commented that you are rock and roll. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. This has been amazing. I love all the content that you're sharing. I think it's needed. You know, we definitely need visibility because we all want to be seen. And when we create something, when we create art, or even an idea or business, a creative business of some kinds, we're sharing a part of us. So sharing that with the world and become visible part of it.
I think so for sure, Nayarka. And it's very important, the physicality of the presentation of how the art is presented, which is why I did a piece on the lighting and the materials used and being able to write about it in a way that captures the imagination. Because our art is personal. Whenever we make something, it is a part of us. It's a feeling. Remember that art can represent an event. It can represent an emotion. It can represent a theme. Art can be anything. And so it's very important that we convey that to the people that our audiences that love our artwork.
Yeah, and we call it art, but really what it is something that you create.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, how does it make you feel when you look at it?
What make it, yeah. You know, it's a way to express yourself, and there's a lot of different mediums out there, from writing a book to writing a song, or even just building something with your hands. Yeah, I think what Donna does on is a piece of art. He actually creates, he does work with leather, and they're beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's awesome. Any last words?
I just want to say, just make sure that you are using every resource available to you, especially if you have a piece that just has been sitting for a long time that you cannot sell. Don't drop the price. It just means you need a bigger audience. The price isn't too high. It means not enough people are seeing it. And so, like I said, I've given you 4 different resources to be able to sell it. Just keep listing it in places, and eventually the right person will see it and buy it.
Okay. And you had a gift. Well, you already gave us a, like, 4 free gift. But do you have, like, a gift that you wanted to share with the audience? Like an offer? Where they can find you?
Yeah, I could just, you know, you can just read the magazine I put out, Shift Advanced Life Design, and it's a collection of articles about business. We're actually featuring you in the next one, but it's free to read, completely digital, shiftlifedesign.com.
Okay, can you write in the private chat? I will put it on the banner so they can log in.
Just popped it on there. So that's the website, and just be sure and check it out. You can read any article and any issue that we have out. We have a completely free archive. So if you see a cover that you really like or something you want to learn about, headline that you like, just click on it and you can read it for free.
Okay. And that's there on the screen. Definitely turn in and check the articles and check everything what he's doing. It's amazing, giving you visibility. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to go on a little break. We have Kim McKibben joining us at 3:00, so turn in. Thank you.
Thanks, Erica.
Thank you. Bye. Wasn't that amazing? What was the best part?
I'm like, wow, at his ability to take you straight into what can. Oh.
Sorry, I didn't know we were still live. His ability to take you, you know, straight into 2 steps ahead and in a very simple manner. That's how I resumed it. Yes, perhaps there are a few things that you have to find, you know, you have to experience yourself, but he's very focused. My opinion is that he's very focused in telling you, hey, 2 steps ahead, that's the one thing you should focus on. And that's a huge value.
Yeah, I think so.
To me, that's you know, that propels you tremendously. It accelerates you in many ways if you know how to use it. What was yours? What was your biggest take?
There were so many. I think he's a teacher at heart, so he knows how to teach you. And that's one of the things I like about Dr. Rob Garcia. He doesn't use give the information, but he actually teaches you how to implement it. And sometimes we need a little help, and the resources definitely help. But it's sometimes you just need a little guidance on how to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm sure that one-on-one, he slows things down and he talks, I'm imagining, he talks straight to your heart and he brings out the best of you before you even can figure out, you know, the logistics. I'm pretty sure that's how things go with him.
And learning your value, that's an amazing thing, because people don't buy products, they buy you. So when you lower your price, you're lowering your value, right? So make sure that you are marketing the right people, the right customers, the right market, and those are the ones that are your people. You know, if they don't buy it, it's because maybe you're not marketing the right persons.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself?
Myself?
Yeah, that's a question for everybody, but how would you describe yourself? Yeah.
In what way?
Anything that comes to mind. How would you describe New Yorker?
A little impulsive.
Right.
Creative. You know. Quirky. Smart. You know. And definitely determined. I think there's always a way. And I think that the biggest word I will use to describe is an explorer at heart. I like to explore. I like to explore my ideas. I like to explore the possibilities and see what can be made. You know, kind of be like a little magician sometimes.
That's a great answer. Thank you.
What about you? How you describe yourself?
Tall. I'm 6'2". I'm just joking. I'm very determined. I'm very heart-centered. I'm learning to be mind-centered, mm-hmm. because there is the value to it. And that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah, because I think that when you include heart-centered and that you're learning something else, that in itself already describes what you need in the moment. To me, I don't need to go further than in the moment right now. That's for me. That's what works for me. So that's my description. Yeah. But I'm determined. That's before heart-centered. I'm very determined.
And that's a good answer. Because you have to... You have to make the decision. And we always decide, by the way. Even when we are thinking that we're not decided, we decided not to decide.
Yeah. There's the huge importance of valuing non-decision. Oh, we're going to get philosophy here. We can talk a little bit about that, but it might make things a little different. You want to go about that?
We can go a little bit.
So the opposites, right? You know, duality. So tug and pull.
Okay.
So kid wants to do play. Kid wants to do play. Therefore, kids wants to play. Kid does not want to eat. Duality. He hasn't eaten for 5 hours. We'll come back to what we were talking, but you know, I want to give the mother's perspective.
Okay.
You know, because then it's a third person, you know, in this, right? So it's a, you know, you kind of like analyzing this instead of like analyzing yourself. So so what do you do? Like, you know, at 5 hours later, kid wants to continue playing. How do you go about this?
Well, how old is the kid? Because if they're little, you kind of mount boys, you go eat now.
So that's it, right? You know, so the mom goes like, you know, you got to eat. But there's something in her head going like, oh, shoot, am I going to be too aggressive or not? And then she goes to bed. I'm being very explicit about it, right? She goes to bed and she's like, I yelled at my kid.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put it into business perspective.
Okay.
Same thing. Business has not given you any finances, income, produced much. I'm going to say it just hasn't produced anything for the last 3 weeks. What do you do?
What do you do?
It's starving for 3 weeks. What do you do?
You can become resourceful. You have to figure out what is not working first and change something. Because if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same results.
Right. So then to tie into what I said, so I'm determined because I have been going through quite some time of self-maintenance, self-development. So I'm hungry in the moment to get to the point where I use it all, where I use all that I've learned for self-development to help other people. So the duality doesn't exist anymore when you have proven, meaning if I yell, if I yell at somebody, it's because I'm hungry. It's because I'm that more. So, you know, I sort of, it's not like it eliminated my thoughts, my negativity, my non-motivation. It's just that it enhanced my hunger and my drive. Therefore, I'm even more determined.
Well, that's the part of it. You know, sometimes it's okay to hit rock bottom and go hungry, because then that gives you more energy to even to try different things. Sometimes when we are too comfortable, and that's part of that, you know, that we keep hearing that we need to be uncomfortable. That's the definition of it. When you're hungry, you are definitely uncomfortable when you get those hunger pains, right? And so but that's when we are the more creative. Creativity sometimes is born out of necessity.
There you go. You eliminate noise. Not completely. Yes. You shortcut the distance. You become less of a duality person. You become less of like, if I do this, this is happening. But if I do that, no. You're so much more objective and focused. You're so much more like, you know, this is what has to happen and that's it.
Well, I remember, you know, I grew up in Cuba. And something that it always marveled me was how creative Cubans can be to survive the conditions. And they went extreme lengths just to do simple things, like kind of reinventing the wheel all over again. We are, you know, we got electricity here, but what happens when your power goes out? How you make that happen? It's already invented, but you cannot go and get a light bulb and turn it on. You know, you have to go back to the basics.
Candles?
Sometimes you don't have the candles.
You don't, right?
And you have to make the candles. And why you don't know how to make the candles?
We're not going to do that today. But
well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you one thing. And it's kind of like, and there's a point to this, I promise. One way they did a candle in Cuba growing up, I experienced this firsthand. And we got a little jar. We fill it out with what they call the liquid,
mm-hmm.
The liquid petroleum.
Right, from the candle.
No, we put.
I'm forgetting the name too. That's what's happening.
Right, and then we get a toothpaste, the base, the tube, empty.
The
of
one
course.
That goes inside.
Yeah, we didn't throw those away. Mm-hmm. The empty toothpaste, a tube. We open it. We put a shoelace inside.
Wait, toothpaste?
Yeah, the toothpaste, the tube.
So not the cord.
The tube. So
okay.
once you use all the toothpaste, they will keep those.
Oh, okay.
They had the liquid inside. They had the flammable liquid inside in the jar. And then they will put a shoelace.
Okay.
On the tube. Mm-hmm. Light it up because it already has the liquid. Now you have a candle.
Huh. I think you should write that. Yeah, a lot of people don't know how to do just you know, something basic like that.
Yeah, and that, and that's pretty much like, you know, that was born out of necessity. But how simple is to get a shoelace? How simple is to get the tube, because we all wash our teeth. And how simple is to have find a laying jar in our house.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. When you are creating something, when you're trying to figure out how to launch your idea, we all love to go to shopping. Mm-hmm. Let me go get the fancy computer. Let me go get my the really impressive desk, because it's going to make me feel important, like I already an entrepreneur. I already made it. Mm-hmm. And you haven't even launched your idea. But what about bootstrapping a little bit and find resources that don't cost you a lot of money, that maybe something that you can repurpose. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to think out of the box, right? So no needs for wax if you can't. I remember the word. No needs to go try to find wax.
Wax.
If you don't have, you know, the resource, the money, or, you know, if you just want to get going.
No, how about using that? Actually, you know, I don't say negate yourself that. No, use, get your idea off the ground first, using available resources that don't cost you extra money or extra resources. And then once you make your first sale, whatever little it is, if it's $10 or $100, go reward yourself with something that you really want.
Right.
And now you create a pattern. You do it four times. It's a pattern.
So here's the question. Why do you think people go for the wax before going for what can I use right now? Why do you think the mindset focuses on the end result, which, you know, which they, I don't know, maybe they pictured it before they can even go like, how can I go about this a little different?
Because they want to have the success. They want to feel that they achieve it. But they kind of missing the point. Part of getting to the success is the journey. Because you might start with an idea, but your idea is going to change. It's guaranteed to change. It's going to transform. Because once you transform it, you're going to see what it works, what doesn't work, what maybe needs a little, you know, you're going to face resistance. You're going to face obstacles. Because obstacles. You will need, eventually, you will need collaboration. Mm-hmm. You're going to need other people to help you with that idea. And those people might not have the same vision that you have. And they might be adding obstacles, or you might run out of cash. How many entrepreneurs don't run out of cash? Cash flow is a big thing. You know, so it might take you a little bit. And that resistance, that obstacle that gets in your way, you have to learn how to overcome it. And that's a learning experience that we all have to go through.
Can I add something?
Yes.
So in addition to everything, which is very valuable, there is the huge, huge importance of filtering your thoughts.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then somebody goes like, you know, so how do I filter my thoughts, or how do, right? And then I go like, well, cleanse them. And then person goes like, how do I cleanse them? Well, we kind of like mentioned that in the beginning of today, that those 5 minutes going over your thoughts, that's cleansing. So it's going to feel awkward again if I just like sit here and then all of a sudden, right, you know, a little bit more to it, thoughts start running and cycling. And it's okay for you to, in 5 minutes, within 5 minutes, to question them. Why am I thinking that way?
Yeah.
That's cleansing.
I think it's kind of listening to your inner voice. Sometimes there's so much noise around us that we stop listening. Mm-hmm. So taking those 5 minutes to listen in and trusting our own voices, that's very important as well, is it can do wonders for you.
Yes, yes. Let's go do a candle a little bit different. Maybe we can get like a shoelace in.
Well, you know, we are going in a place where right now there's not all the supplies that we used to.
Yeah.
So you can say we're going to an experience that we are going to have to learn how to become resourceful. You know, we throw away a lot of trash, but what is really trash? Mm-hmm. Trash is other people's treasure chests, right? You use that what you call trash, it can be repurposed and reused again. Mm-hmm. And you can be very inventive with it. A lot of your art actually is done repurposing material.
Repurposing and refurbishing, right?
Yes, I have.
So you can refurbish.
When I was in Japan, they make, and I was specifically in Okinawa, and they're very famous for the crystals that they make. They actually have all these little shops where they actually make the crystal bases and different ornaments right there in front of you, and you actually can participate. They make it a whole business. And now that what they do is in the beach, people go, enjoy, drink, and then they leave the trash behind. They leave the glass, they leave the beer glasses. So they actually take all those broken pieces of glasses and they repurpose it, and they make it into art. They make it into these beautiful vases that amazing works are, mm-hmm. and they sell really, really expensive. They're like a bottle can cost you from $40 to $60, but it's beautiful and it's very different than regular glass because they use like maybe a beer bottle that is green. So now you have a green base.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's an art to it. I'm not going to endorse it here, but there's an art to it. There's you know, like broken glass, and then you know however they choose to put it together, whether it is with glass itself or with gold, mm-hmm. They, you know, that's the value in it. Like, you know, the way that they choose to piece it together, regardless, it's more valuable because they put an intention in it. They're like, you know, so from a broken glass, they go ahead like, this is for your fruition. This is for your manifestation. This is for your, you know, so they put sort of like, you know, an intention to it. And therefore, all of a sudden, it's double, triple, four times priced.
Yes. And they fix the need, right? Because they had to clean their city, they had to clean the beaches, all take out all that trash. And then what do you do with that trash? Do you dump it somewhere? Do you have to pay to export it like we used to do? Or do you make mountains of trash? Mm-hmm. Or you repurpose it and use it in something new, create something that people want to pay for. so now it kind of become a circle economy. Right, it's helping the company, it's helping the local business, and it's a piece of art.
You know, it's smart. It's so smart.
I love that. But there's so many examples like that can be done. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Can you think of one?
Oh my gosh, I can think of so many. In the same example of, you know,
it can be anything.
So I'm Brazilian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Brazil. I had to go.
Thank you. And we have Carnival.
Oh, yes.
Right? And Carnival is quite the art setting. So all the, you know, a lot of people focus a lot on the music. A lot of people focus a lot on the people, right? You know, they're health naked. But if you truly focus on, you know, the sculptures that they, you know, they built, rebuilt, it's all from, all of it is from recyclables.
Recyclables?
Yeah. So they take the material from the year before, they dismantle it. They, you know, they might shred it, they might not shred it, and they reuse it. And then they take more trash from other places. So, you know, bottles, empty bottles that were thrown out, or plastic. Plastic is huge. So, and on top of it, they might or not put a coat on it, like paint or whatever it is. All the dressing, all the stuff that they dress, it's all the same thing as well. It's not only the pieces, the big pieces. If you saw the carts that they have, they're gigantic, but there's also like the clothes, the stuff that they, you know, they recycle and they stitch again, and then you reuse it the next year. So it's sort of like the same idea, but specifically for that event. Now the cars themselves, they're not, they don't have battery. People push them. You know those big carts at Carnival? People push them.
To avoid accidents because there's so many people.
I know. Yeah, no, it's actually serious. It's, you know, a lot of people have gotten injured.
Uh-huh.
That's the downside of it. And I'm not here to talk specifically about that. But the plus side of it is that they don't use gas, you know, in which is even more riskier.
Right.
They don't have, you know, flames. They can't use anything that is. So there's a type of flame that is doesn't damage. I know. So they have to invest. That's the one investment that they have to go with, you know, if they're going to use flames. So most of them don't use flames, don't use anything that is, you know, is dangerous, right? Even their lights, it's reusable, it's recyclable stuff.
It does make sense because the Brazilian carnivals, that's on my bucket list for sure. It's the number one carnival in the world, so it's multitude of people.
Yeah, if I can encourage, focus on the art pieces. Mm-hmm. Focus on the dresses and, you know, and how people dress, even from the shoes to the stuff like, you know, on the head, and the big carts. It's all recyclable.
That's amazing. And there it goes to prove, you know, and all, a man's trash is another person's treasure chest.
Yeah.
So they can create so much with it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a short break while we have Keith join us in a little bit. Okay. And see you soon.